things he said was this. He said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, I shall be with you a little while longer. His death was the next morning. He said, you will seek me and cannot. He said, you will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you. And this is the new commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Everybody with me on that? Every Christian church that names the name of Jesus Christ should not be known for their music ministry, should not be known for their vacation Bible school, should not be known for how beautiful their sanctuary is. But Jesus said, this is the standard by which the world should know those that claim my name. He said, first and foremost is that we have love one for another. You follow what I'm saying? This is how we ought to be known, first to each other and then by the world. It's how we treat one another. There's only one way you know my sons. How do you know my sons? You know them by one way. Not because they look like me, not because they talk like me. Someone fooled around and told one of my sons he's going to be a preacher, not because they preach like me. And he's the worst, no, I'm not going to say that, but that's not how people should know your kid. You know how you know my kids? By the way I treat them. Yeah, that's his son. I can tell that's your father. Soon as somebody, that's how I know. Not because he look like you, not because he act like you, walk like you. But I know him by the way you treat him. You don't treat him like the other boys. You treat him like he's your son. And in like manner, he treats you. Are you with me on that? All right, now let me see if you say amen to this. I had it here. And just that fast, I lost it. Here it is. I was one page over. All right. This is Luke 6:27. Now dig this. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this up. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Your Bible, not mine. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. They said whatever they didn't take, offer it and say, did you want this too? This is what the Word of God is saying. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. Anybody know what that means? That means you give and forget. Not forgive, you give, and you forget that you ever gave it to them. They pay you back? Cool. If they don't, that's fine too. Because when people don't pay you back, that means what? That means God will. And I'll always take God paying me back over any one of you. Always, right? Right? So look, and he said, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. This is Luke 6. It's in your Bible. Verse 32. Now listen to this. Now this is, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If I'm nice to you and then you're nice back, what have we gained? We haven't gained anything. The transactions, what? Cancel each other's out. I'm good to you. You're good in return. at the end of the day, we're both even. I was nice to you. You got niceness. Now you're nice to me. Now I got niceness. And at the end of the day, we're what? Even Stephen. No profit in that transaction. No one's benefited, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all even. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that? For even sinners love those who love them. People who hate Jesus and denounce God are nice to one another. And if you do good to those, and if you, I went too far. And if you do good, who does good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But, here's working that commandment, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Now, someone figure that out. I lend, don't get paid back. I'm good to people who are intentionally nasty to me. But yet the word of God says my reward is great. Where is it? I don't get the money back. I don't get the niceness back. I don't even get a thank you back. Where's my reward? Do you follow what I'm saying? But this is in your Bible. The Bible said, Jesus said, not just in your Bible, these red words, Jesus said, your reward is great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and even the evil. Therefore, be merciful and just as your Father in heaven is also merciful. How many know we got our work cut out for us? We got our work cut out for us just in loving one another. And once we pass that grade, he gives us another test and say, now, what about those that don't like you? What about those that don't go to your church? What about those that don't look like you, act like you? Do you follow what I'm saying? And the reality is, the only way to pull this stuff off, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're not going to do this just because you wake up and said you're going to do it. Well, the pastor said, I got to love everyone in the church, so this week I'm going to love everybody in the church. No, you're not. You didn't love them last week. You sure enough ain't going to love them this week, especially as hot as it is. You know, when it gets hot, we get crazy. You follow me? Cranky, irritable. Do you follow me? How many people are cranky and irritable even when the weather is nice? It's nice and cool, breeze blowing, and you just as nasty. Do you follow what I'm saying? The only way to do this, you're going to need the Word of God. The only way you're going to be able to perform the Word of God, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's when we come around the communion table that we celebrate not only our union with Christ, not only our renewed relationship with the Father, but we celebrate the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, alive, well, and active inside our human bodies. Do you follow what I'm saying? So this now becomes possible to us to do. Not because we said we're going to do it, not because we think we're capable of doing. We're doing it because God, Christ, has given us a command, and he has given us the power to do it. Do you follow what I'm saying? So that was that. I shared you some letters from time to time. I share with you an email. And so I want to do that this morning. I was thinking and praying, Lord, give me something to encourage the people. And this email hit my inbox, so instead of me encouraging you this morning, this is an email from Brother N. And N, as you know or may not know, is over in Great Britain. And so he sent this in via email. He says, hi, Pastor. He said, I'm writing you this morning. It is about 1 o'clock in the morning. And he said, I pray that you are well. He starts out by saying, I just tried to send some tithes using the website, but it's not allowing me to do it because I don't have a zip code or other information. So instead, he said, I sent the money to Talia, and she is going to pass it along. I just thought I'd let you know what happened with my experience using the website. So everyone look around and find Talia. You will be the first one giving in the offering today. Because I'm going to email Brother N back and say thank you for the tithe. I got it. Talia, she completed the transaction. He said, I can see the website has had a big overhaul, and you guys have put a lot of work in it, and it looks nice. Great work, guys. He said, other than that, how is everything going? He said, just so you know, we celebrate Father's Day on the same day over here in Great Britain, but Mother's Day is on a different day. So they share Father's Day is the same across the pond, but Mother's Day, they celebrate on a different day. He said, also, I have a request for you. I'm going to write something below for my church family. And if you could pass this message on to the church after a sermon or something, I would greatly appreciate it. This is Brother N now. He's giving the homily this morning. He said, whatever you've gone through or are going through right now or will go through in the future, said your kids or parents breaking your heart, if you're going through depression or some form of addiction, if your business just went south on you, or even if you lost your job or house, you lost someone you loved in a death that makes no sense. Your faith or experience with God has grown bitter, cold, or confusing, or maybe your whole life is blowing up in your face. Talk about it. Name it. Express it. Feel it, but don't ever be deceived that the last word or experience about that situation has been spoken or felt. Brother N talking. An important part of our story is that loss, betrayal, and failure never, and never is in all caps, has the last word. No matter how dark it seems, no matter how impossible it feels, no matter what your former friends turned critics may say, and no matter how long the season may last, we don't know how, when, or where, but God will make a way where there seems to be no way possible. This is Brother N's testimony. This is not mine. This is Brother N's testimony. He said, believe me and my beautiful wife. He said, we are no one special, but he has done for us, for what he has done for us, he will do it also for all of you. Genesis 50 and 20 said, you planned something bad for me, but God produced something good from it in order to save the lives of many people, just as he's doing today. He said, I'm praying for all of you, and I hope you will do the same for me. Your brother in Christ, N. So we thank God for Brother N. We thank God for his time with us when he was with us for 18, 24 months. But now he has gone back to his home country. He's back in Great Britain, just outside of London. I want to thank Talia. Don't hit me. She jumped out. If you look at Talia, I want to thank Jerron. I want to thank Sister Gladney for inviting N. That's how he got here. He didn't show up by magic. Someone invited him and brought him, and in the course of his fellowship, the young guy gave his life to Christ. And look, and is yet holding on. No church. I'm trying to find him a church in London. I can't even spell London, but we're trying to find him a church in London. But while we're waiting, he's chiming in every Sunday night. He's the first one downloading the sermons every Sunday night. The first one. He's pulling. And this one he wrote in response to the Father's Day sermon. More men like Andrew. That's why he had that reference in there about Father's Day. That's when he, that was the sermon he had watched and then decided to send that email, not only to me, but like you heard, to all of us. He just sent a word of encouragement that even while he's trying to adjust to his new life and what's going on for him, he thought enough of us. Watch this. He loved us enough to send a word over the pond and send encouragement to us. And so I hope you're blessed this morning, not only by all the demonstrations of love, especially to those that are suffering crisis and going through, but so much more by our brother N, who just thought to send back a word of encouragement and to let us know that he loves us, that he's trying to do what the book teaches, first and foremost, to love one another. Amen. And so with that, we're going to prepare our hearts and mind for the communion service. And at this time, we're going to ask that we're going to have our scripture read to us first. And after our scripture, they're going to uncover the sacraments. Then after the scripture reading, we're all going to stand and we're going to repeat after the reader for our confession of faith. And then after the confession of faith, we're going to have our prayer of consecration, not only over these sacraments, the sacraments that are on this table before us, but a prayer of consecration over our lives, that we present them as holy, set apart, sacred, reserved for the use of God and God alone. That whatever he would have us to do, if it's to write an email, if it's to demonstrate an act of kindness or thoughtfulness, if it's witnessing to someone who doesn't want to hear our message, whatever it is, Lord, my life has been consecrated to you. And all consecrated means is set apart. You don't see the other stuff from the kitchen here. We've got other stuff to cook with and eat with, but this stuff has been set apart. We only use it to those things that pertain to God. And in like manner, that's how we want our lives to be, consecrated, set apart for God, for God's use, available for God when he decides that he needs the gifts that he has given us. Now I need it. That's why I planted it down inside of you. That's why I anointed that gift in you. And that's why you feel the way you feel. And that's why you're prompted to do the things you are prompted to you. That's God pulling on his gift. That's God letting you know through the Holy Spirit, I'm ready. For what's get ready to happen, I need you and your gift available. This is not the time to go to sleep. This is not the time to say that I'm tired or too busy. No, the master calleth. The disciples went into that house and they found the man and they said, what? The master has need. It's the time. This is what we've been leading up to. This is what we've been preparing for. This is what the communions have been about. Now the master has need. Shall we have our scripture reading?
Amen. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23 through 34. I'll be reading in your hearing the Contemporary English Version. I've already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed, and it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands. Then, after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me." After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and said, "This is my blood, and with it God makes his new agreement with you. Drink this and remember me." The Lord meant that when you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you tell about his death until he comes. But if you eat the bread and drink the wine in a way that isn't worthy of the Lord, you sin against his body and blood. That's why you must examine the way you eat and drink. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, you will condemn yourselves by the way you eat and drink. That's why many of you are sick and weak, and why a lot of others have died. If we carefully judge ourselves, we won't be punished. But when the Lord judges and punishes us, he does it to keep us from being condemned with the rest of the world. My dear friends, you should wait until everyone gets there before you start eating. If you are really hungry, you can eat at home. Then you won't condemn yourselves when you meet together. After I arrive, I will instruct you about the other matters. Amen.
Shall we stand for our confession of faith?
Most merciful God,
most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you.
We confess that we have sinned against you.
In thought,
word,
and deed.
By what we have done,
and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry and we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may delight in your will,
and walk in your ways,
to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Father, we are so grateful for this first Sunday in July and for the glorious privilege that is ours to come around the communion table to commemorate the death and suffering of your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the one who did it all for us back on Calvary. Where he was wounded for our transgressions, where he was bruised for our iniquities, where he took the chastisement for our peace. And with his stripes, we were healed. Thank God. We thank God for healings spiritually and naturally. Thank God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You're so good. You're so good to us. You've done so much for us. Hallelujah. Our hearts are filled this morning with living gratitude. Hallelujah. As we reflect and remember of the sacrifice made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we have been brought back to favor with you, Father. Glory. Thank God. We thank you for the elements that are set before us this morning. And we pray, Lord God, that you would consecrate them now for the purpose of Holy Communion. May the bread be as your broken body. May this grape juice be as your shed blood, that as we partake, we might be mindful of the fact that we are partaking of the body and blood of our Lord. And this we do in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
I know it was the blood. blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. Yes, I know it was the blood. It was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. Yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. I thank him for the blood, yes, I thank him for the blood, I thank him for the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. It was the